Hello, she says.
Lois?
Yes?
This is Ben, he says.
Ben?
Benjamin Thorpe.
Oh.
How are you, Lois?
Fine. What do you want? Why are you calling me?
Just to see how you are.
It's 4 o'clock in the morning.
I know.
Are you in Los Angeles?
No, I'm still here in New York.
She said you might have gone back to Los Angeles.
Who? Heather?
No, the detective, the one who was here.
A detective came to see you?
Said you might have gone back to Los Angeles, Detective Boyle.
No, I'm here. She hesitates, takes a breath. Go ahead, ask him, she thinks.
Did you kill somebody, Ben?
Kathleen hung up after Joyce's phone call and sat at the kitchen table as the coffee cup cooled between her hands. Finally, she stood up and walked into the den. She pulled out the one album with all the photographs of Danny and leafed through it, as she did every year, page after page, remembering the way he waddled, the way the little toe on his right foot turned in, his giggle, his passion for mashed peas. Kathleen remembered the smell of his hair when it was wet, the way he twisted his hands like a Balinese dancer when he was excited or tired. She began to weep and closed the book, taking her tears down to the basement, to the laundry room, where she lay down on the cold cement floor, letting herself fall all the way down to the bottom of her grief. 1976, America's bicentennial, is a presidential election year. Ronald Reagan challenges President Gerald Ford for the Republican nomination. Ford had been appointed to complete the second term of Richard Nixon when Nixon resigned under the pressure of the Watergate scandals. Confident of his nomination, Ford begins the campaign with a string of 5 primary victories over Reagan. On the Democratic side, the frontrunner is Georgia Governor Jimmy Carter.
She said, "Why do I think I'm standing closer to you than you are to me?" She wasn't trying to be funny. It was true. A paradox of the spectral sort. Then she tried to be funny, using sweet talk and pet names, but soon felt foolish and stopped.
Cancer patients received injections of a compound called BRDU, which was used for diagnostic purposes. The BRDU-labeled neurons and glial cells grew in the hippocampal region. This meant that these adult human brains contained dividing neuronal cells.
And then she came. Down the winding staircase, her footstep light, and with one slim hand holding the banister. She was wearing a white gown with a green bodice, and the green seemed to be exactly the shade of her eyes. Her dark hair was piled softly on her head, except for the cluster of curls at the nape of her neck. She smiled adoringly at George William, then turned to Lawrence. "So at last you have brought your brother to meet me," she said. She extended both hands to George. "I've heard so much about you. I've heard so much about you." George was stunned. My God, the unbelievable beauty of her, the sparkle in her eyes, the slimness.
"She is not a pretty girl, but she looks sexy and trendy, with just enough eyeshadow, just enough blush, just enough lipstick on her pouty mouth. A rapist will tell you she shouldn't dress this way."
"She said you think he may have killed someone."
"Well, we're investigating every possibility," Emma says. "Miss Ford, we have a record of calls." She is already nodding.
"Yes, he called me."
"At 4:48 a.m., is that right?"
"Yes."
"Can you tell me what the call was about?"
"Yes. He wanted to apologize."
Emma looks at her.
"He was crying," Lois says. "He called to apologize for his earlier behavior. He said he was a decent man. He said he was afraid Heather might have given me the wrong impression of him, so he wanted to apologize. He was crying very hard. I've never heard a man cry that hard."
"He didn't ask if he could come here, did he?"
"No, he didn't," Lois says.
She looks somewhat disappointed that he didn't. Now that Emma has mentioned it, she seems to be wondering why he didn't. "Did he say where he might be going?"
When he checked out, did he say he was going back to California?
No, he didn't. I mean, he didn't mention California or any place else. He just said he was terribly sorry. You really think he killed someone?
He might have, Emma says. She reaches into her tote, takes her wallet from it, pulls a business card from behind her Metro card. Here's where you can reach me, she says, in case he calls back.
Gee, do you think he might? Lois asks.
He may still be in the city, we don't know. I'll give you my home number, too, she says, and writes it on the back of the card. Call me at any time of the day or night.
Okay, Lois says. You don't think I'm in any danger, do you? She asks.
I'm sure you're not, Emma says. But she isn't sure at all.